is where we crossed the Saar River. We crossed the river on the pontoon bridge, and we weren't very far, and there was a tank that was mired in the mud off to the side in an open field. And I took a look at it, and I said, I can get it out of there. And they said, no, don't mess with it, because you'll only draw fire when it's out in the open. And we're all laying low inside this little village. And finally, I got to what I was called over there for, was to pick up some heavy equipment with my tank recovery unit, and we loaded up on a truck. And as I put my boom up, the hook wouldn't come down on the cable. And so I crawled up there, and it was dark. And the Germans was laying a dose of artillery in the area. And one of them hit the top of an apartment building about 50 yards near me there. And a lot of shingles from the clay shingles from the roof hit the area, and some of it rattled my tank. And here I'm way up there on top of the boom with the hook in my hand. And so I swung out and came down with the hook and the cable, and I hit the ground and I ran. So that was a close moment. And we laid around there for a few days. And we couldn't do much, and there was a railroad bridge there that nobody used. And I was trying to encourage people to try to use it, and they said, no, it might be booby-trapped. So we better stick to our pontoon bridge. But they had a group of people running smoke pots upstream a little ways from us, and something went wrong. They got nearly hit with shell fire, so they abandoned the smoke pots, and the smoke pots cleared the area for enough time for the Germans to see where the Dargun pontoon bridge was, and they sort of knocked it out, but then the engineers straightened it out in time for all of us to get back across the river. And that's when the Battle of Bulge was starting up north. And so we went back to Hemmersdorf, and we were reorganizing, and we moved back to near a high point of crossroads, and there was an underground railroad in that area, and we were told we're going to be in that area 5 days in preparation for our drive going up to Luxembourg. So I thought, well, here's a moment for me to get my recovery unit in shape. My engine didn't have enough power to pull any tanks anymore. So with my two mechanics, Anger and Sandy, we had found an abandoned shed where we could work on our tank. And we'd taken out the engine, and we remodeled the whole engine. We ground the valves, adjusted the tappets, and I took care of the spark plugs. And we tuned it up and put it back in, and boy, it had superpower again, so it was good for the rest of the war. I was able to pull two tanks again with that baby. And then we proceeded to go up to the Battle of the Bulge, and I was passing blood. I was throwing up blood and passing blood through my bowels. So I was sent back to the hospital overnight, and they analyzed that. I'm getting an ulcer because I'm eating nothing but hash and stew and all that greasy food. And I was given a sheet to take to my company commander that no more hash and stew. And so I never did eat with the company. Me and my crew, we were always out on the road, and we're given these rations, and all we got was hash and stew unless we held up the rations truck and had our pickings. So, and then a lot of times we ate with the company, different companies along the road. They would take care of us, which was a blessing. So when I got back to the company, the Battle of Bulge had come to an end, and we all moved up to a little town of Tri-Verges, and that's where that big underground railroad car gun was always coming out and blasting, and nobody could find it until that one sunny day when the Air Force found it. They put it out of existence. And as we got to that little town that night, my feet felt like they were frozen, and sure enough, they almost were, because when they pulled my boots off, my socks stayed in the shoes. And Bellows had some warm water for me, and as I was soaking my feet, Sergeant Missouri came to me and said, "Stever, you got to get your crew together, and this gentleman is waiting for you, because General Patton told General Walker that he would send the best recovery crew in the United States Army up there." And so we got going, and we followed this Jeep with them little blackout lights through a mountainous area. There was a lot of dangerous curves, and even my 10-ton record almost went down one of them. And as we got there, I had an interview with General Walker, and he was sitting in a little shack up in the woods, and he was drinking Canadian Club, so he gave me a couple of shots, and we were discussing how long it would take to recover his 155 long ton truck and shout that rolled over the side of the ravine. The five men riding on the back of it, they were buried underneath there. We had to get them out first. So I told him I'd need at least 4 hours. So he said, "I'll give you the road from midnight to 4 o'clock in the morning." So as I started the preparation of removing the bodies, everybody had the dry heaves. They couldn't pick up this fleshy stuff. So I rolled them all in canvas, and what they didn't see didn't hurt them. And they were able to drag all the bodies up to the side of the hill and put them on a truck and get them out of there. And then we disconnected the gun from the truck, and we tried moving it, and it wouldn't budge. So I said, "We got to put on two double blocks," and that meant double lengths of cable. And so we unwound almost our whole spool of cable to make the complete hookup.